Welcome back to the Coffee House Podcast, episode 5. We're here at Botanicals Garden Center. I am David, your co-host.
And I'm Alyssa. Don't forget to like us on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel and any other podcast streaming services that you use.
Hit that little bell. All right, man, we're here with Sam and Ruben with Botanicals Indoor Garden Center. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming through, guys.
Absolutely. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name's Sam Conley. I'm the general manager of Botanicals Indoor Garden Center here in sunny Sioux Falls.
Yeah, and I'm Ruben Roman. I'm the commercial account manager here at Botanicals Indoor Garden Center, and I'm from California.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for having us in here, and I appreciate the new hat because I outwore my other one.
That's good.
It turned out.
Please keep wearing.
Actually, I see those hats all over the place.
Dude, I love it.
So,
I love
the trucker hats. Good job on the apparel, guys.
I'm glad.
Switched me from like snapbacks to trucker hats.
So. It's all about the aeration, you know.
Right? No, for real, it's a little more comfortable. So, tell us a little bit about just what you guys kind of do in a general sense. We'll obviously dive more into specifics in a little bit, but just give people a little bit of a.
Let me take it.
Snippet.
All right. So basically what we do here at Botanicals Indoor Garden Center is we give people basically a space to ask questions, because most of the time people come in and they're interested in growing. They're interested in getting into this, but they have no clue where to start. And we're just here as people to be able to be like, hey, this is how you start. And you have a question. There's no stupid question. There's only like just finding a greater understanding of what you're actually doing, I guess. So really it's more education, and when people buy our products, we're super happy about it, but the education comes first, because what can you do with these products if you don't know what they are?
Right. Yeah, so. Definitely, because there's like 1,000 applications for all these products. You know, everybody has their secret sauce, you know? So it's just about kind of learning what works for you, really.
So, and you said commercial account manager, right? So
yes.
You guys sell, well, products obviously and information to not only just your everyday person, but to like obviously commercial accounts.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm in charge of like bringing in new accounts, going out and just helping out whatever cultivations I can, if they have any issues or just want to just, you know, take it in the next step forward, you know. Right. That's what I'm there for, whether that's, you know, new equipment or new nutrients. I can help out with it all.
And when did you guys open?
September and early September, end of August, just about
22.
So we've been open for about 5-6 months now.
Nice.
You can usually tell how long we've been open based on the size of our tomatoes, because they went in.
that's what I was gonna say, because so like you guys aren't obviously just strictly cannabis, because you guys have a plethora of limes and basil and mint and stuff in the back. Mm-hmm. So like it's not, people can come here with any questions when it comes to any indoor plants, right?
Exactly. So my start in horticulture came from essentially just doing landscaping and stuff, summer jobs, getting into it and doing plantings, figuring out what soils work for what, figuring out what plants work where based on lighting. After I graduated school, didn't know what I wanted to do, so I ended up going to Sydney, Australia, because I had family over there, and I was like, well, now is a great time to go. So I went over there and ended up getting a job at an indoor gardening center, or not an indoor gardening center, but it was like a commercial nursery, rather. So indoor plants, outdoor plants, ornamental gardens. So I have a pretty great background in that. So that helps me. It really translates into when people come in here, and even people come in here for house plants, whatever it is, we can usually give a diagnosis pretty easy based on whatever the plant is, how much light it's getting, what position it is. So those kind of skills rolled over into this, where we can not only help cannabis growers, but we can help people that just want pretty plants for their house. Right. Or if they want to just rip a whole garden in their backyard, we can get them off to the races in early spring.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not like exclusively indoor stuff. You can help people with outdoor gardening also.
Exactly.
Okay.
I feel like there's so much knowledge when it comes to just growing anything in general. And every plant is different. Like it needs a different environment, a different soil source.
Oh, definitely.
Water level. Like, it's insane. How long do you think, or how passionate you think you have to be to like be able to retain all that information? I feel like it's not something that just a normal person can pick up a book and be like, oh yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely passion comes a lot into it. I mean, just for example, me, like, I grew up watching my grandma, like, waking up every morning, watering her plants, you know, singing to them, talking to them, you know, my precious, my beauties. And so I come from that. And just so you do have to have some sort of passion for it, I believe. You know, a lot of people say, I don't have a black thumb, I don't have the green thumb. But it's like, you can learn it. And, you know, it's just about, you know, just having that care and that knowledge. A lot of the time, it's just the knowledge, you know.
If this tells you anything, I killed a cactus.
Overwatering.
Yep. Literally what happened.
Which is really hard to do with the cactus.
No, that's it. I had to go buy a new one. Thankfully, I live right down the street from the Cliff Avenue Garden
Center. Right, right,
on, like, Fialis Road. So.
It was kind of funny. Even in Sydney, so at the Garden Center, we'd have people come in, they'd buy $1,200 worth of plants. And guess what? They'll be, like, and it was a very wealthy area. They'd buy $1,200. Guess what? They'd be back in a month and a half to buy the same exact plants again because they would just rather buy more plants than to actually learn to take care of them. And it was like, what is going on? That was a specimen plant. Like, killed it.
Which is, you know, each plant's going to have the trick, like you were saying, you know, like tomatoes, for example, they require like high phosphorus and potassium at certain stages, like very high phosphorus, potassium. Strawberries can grow with very low phosphorus, potassium, like about a 4-4-4, and that's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. But like, you know, so it's just about learning your plant, and really you can just sometimes a lot of times just Google that kind of stuff, you know, about the MPKs. But if you want to learn more about like other beneficials, like mycorrhiza stuff, like the fungi and other things like that, or what media is best for like certain plants, like that's where we can come in handy. And you know,
yeah, and Google's obviously a great source, but you kind of also have to know what questions to ask too.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's a huge one. Like, knowing what to ask is a big one.
100%.
So the easiest thing, like Ruben touched upon, if you have any plant in the world, type the name of that plant in, say I'm growing tomatoes. I search ideal NPK for tomatoes, and the first result will be that number. So it'll be the exact number. It'll be a 444 or a 467. So you can kind of mix and match your nutrients based on that too, to be able to match that ideal NPK, and that's going to maximize your plant. So that's just as easy as it gets.
Can you explain like those numbers that you just rattled off?
Yes.
I know the last time I was in here, I had you walk me through that because I was very confused. So on every like bottle of product, right? Like there's one right there. Yeah, there's these three numbers.
Oh, okay.
This one here.
So yeah. On the bottom left.
Yep. Okay.
This is
that one has all three. The Sensi Grow right
oh,
there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, it
has all three numbers.
So this is Sensi Grow Cocoa Part B from, what is this? Advanced Nutrients?
Yeah, Advanced Nutrients.
So if you see on here, it's 1, 2, 4. So that's saying there's 1 nitrogen, 2 MP. I have dyslexia.
Phosphorus.
Sorry. These are tough for me. But so 1, 2, 3, so NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium.
Okay.
So there is 4-1 potassium to nitrogen in this. There's 2-1 phosphorus to nitrogen in this.
Okay.
Yeah,
so those tell you the total volume. So if it was a bar diagram,
right,
then you'd have your nitrogen here, K here, or P here and K here. So okay. It just kind of gives you the overall spread of what's in that.
And then different plants need different nutrient like quantities at different times
you just simple as it is, if you're growing cannabis, boost your PK and flower.
Yeah, I feel like such an idiot when it comes to actually like growing stuff,
especially with cannabis. Yeah, especially with cannabis,
that's why you're here.
But it's easy to talk from this standpoint because we've been doing this our whole lives, right? You know, it's like it seems old hat to us, but these numbers, like I remember when I first started, I looked at those ratios and was like, I'm never going to get that. That is just
100%.
No way. And now it's like, oh, it's MPK.
Right.
So, like, full disclosure, when I was writing the outline for this, right, you know, I asked everybody what they'd like to talk about. And honestly, I had no idea what any of the things were. So Leafly was a great help. Shout out Leafly.
Yeah, I wish I would have got this before 10 minutes ago.
I just figured like, well, we'll just go through and we'll just ask you about it, and you guys will just rattle it off to us, you know. So obviously botanicals coming to Sioux Falls correlates with a specific industry starting, right?
Yes.
So can you maybe give us like some background on how that came to be, or mm-hmm. what the decision was, or how that all started?
So just to clarify, so how essentially botanicals came to be? Oh, in Sioux Falls? So the owners of our company are Sioux Falls, born and raised. Like, they're all from here. With the incumbent cannabis market, I think they were inclined to outsource for people that have been doing this for maybe 10, 15 years to be able to bring someone from California, from Boston, out to here to be able to kind of give a jump start to the locals of being like, all right, ask us any questions you want. Like, right. We've gone through our state's processes of the absolute just figuring out how the market's actually going to play out, because they have it played out one way, and what it actually happens is what you're going to find out. Mm. So it's kind of seeing very similar patterns across, say, South Dakota versus Rhode Island versus Massachusetts versus California. So I think the goal was to bring in people that maybe had a different perspective on kind of the industry, and then be able to talk to people from here, and then now we can figure out what's going on in this kind of market.
Right, because it's a new market out here, and it's, you know, compared to California or, like, you know, the East Coast, it's like those places are a lot more, you know, open and, you know, free about it. Like, California's recreational, you know, you're going to be smelling it down the block, like, all the time, really, you know. And, yeah, it's like for me, myself, like, I've been growing since I was about 15, 16, you know, home grows and stuff like that in California. That's how you start. And we just want to be like a safe place for like those type of growers, you know, where it's just like come in, ask questions, like we don't judge like at all, you know, like at all. So, yeah.
So obviously, like, the dispensaries are open, right? And people can go into a dispensary and get their cannabis. Mm-hmm. But they can also do home grow.
Yes.
And you have to pay the $20 or whatever. And have the qualifications to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are like some of the pros for, like, why should somebody, instead of just going into a store and buying something that somebody else grows, it's already tested, whatever, what would be your reasoning?
Well, personally, with like anything, growing anything, not just cannabis, but it's like, you know, what's going into that product, you know, like if any pesticides are being sprayed on it, things like that. I know, just peace of mind, really. And like, that's honestly the biggest thing, because you just don't know what's out there. You hear like crazy stories of things being laced with certain things, and you're just like, whoa, you know, you just want to stay away from the certain things, you know.
And it may also come down to just cost alone. So if I have an initial investment of I want to put up a grow tent in my house, so I have my $20 license, and then I purchase my grow tent, a lot of the times, a lot of patients will consume more than they can afford to, like, not more than they can afford, but more than they'd like to afford, to where dispensaries are amazing to be able to go get flower that I don't, like, say I'm not, that's not something I want to do. I love that I can go down the street and I can go, okay, I'm going to get this flower. I want to try all these different strains. But if you're growing at home, now I can grow those, say you do, I know some smokers will do, or cannabis users would do, like, I don't know, say 4 ounces a month, just because they're a daily user, they need it for pain. 4 ounces a month, and
probably
depending on the price,
probably be one of those.
That's the cost of just starting up your grow. So it makes it more economically available for people to be able to grow at home, because you're paying your electric bill. You're not paying it towards these other companies. But again, you still have that option to be able to go down the street and try these new things and engage in this new market, because you're going to learn a lot from just what other people are growing. So you can say, this is what I have, this is what they have. All right, I'm either almost there, I'm pretty proud of myself because this is what I did.
Right.
So it just comes down to passion, really, is economic freedom of being able to grow it yourself.
Have you seen a lot of cannabis patients, like, you know, your customer base in general, right? Like, is it a lot of indoor, just people who want to grow, like, tomatoes and stuff, or is it a lot of, like, cannabis patients?
I'd say it's a good mix of everyone. So we would say probably about 50% cannabis, say split the rest into 225s, where it's like home growers that do tomatoes. They want to grow just produce in their basement. They want to be able to produce and not have to go to the grocery store, be a little bit more self-sufficient. That would be.
It's a great, like, you know, like, revenue stream too. Like, if you want to, you know, start up your little, you know, grow in the back and sell your tomatoes, you know, out in the farmer's market and things like that. Like, those are things that you can, you know, get going for sure. Sell to restaurants. You can do all kinds of things. Right. Definitely. Especially out here, that in the wintertime, things aren't as available. So especially during this time, probably is like the best time to have like an indoor garden type deal where, yeah, it's definitely a good revenue stream.
And it's something to do.
Right.
Yes. Long winters here.
Yeah, man. My brain's all
the same. The frozen tundra.
What else do you have?
Sunny Sufas.
Might as well just garden indoors.
Right. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I feel like if I were to get into it and I want to, I just want to, I can't in the apartment that I'm in right now. But I think strain selection would be huge for me too,
right,
to be able to kind of get whatever I want and get something that would be like specific to me, because obviously the dispensaries have like a wide selection and it's only going to continue to grow.
100%.
But there are some stuff that's like, dude, that mango OG that I had in my senior year, I still remember the taste of it. It's amazing. And so I want to see if I can, you know, do that again.
Because
nostalgia is a motherfucker.
And a lot of times when it comes to strains, it can be like, oh, I remember that high was a great high. Or if it's be more medicinal, it's going to have to be a lot more with the terpenes and things like that, you know, because terpenes are, you know, very beneficial to like health wise. Like they also work with like CBD and THC, like it all works, you know, with that entourage effect. And for me, like terpenes, THC, CBD always like where you want to encompass it. And like testing for terpenes is where I feel like a lot of things have to go as well, because you can be allergic to terpenes. And that's where sometimes folks, you know, they try cannabis for the first time and they have a bad panic attack or something. Well, it can be that you were allergic to a certain terpene in that specific strain and kind of made you whack out a little bit and, you know, feel paranoid and kind of, you know, turns you off from that. So knowing the terpenes and everything that's in the actual cannabis too, you know, is huge. And so knowing your body as well, knowing if you're allergic to anything, is going to be big too.
Now, are there like ways for you to test your own product at home? Because I know, like, if you get, like, say you buy seeds online or whatever, and you buy a strain specific, but maybe you don't buy from reputable source.
Right.
And you want to see, like, is this actually what it's, you know, said it's going to be? I think if you could have,
well,
I know the way the state does it, obviously it's fairly expensive, and I don't think every home grow can go in there and be like, hey, will you test this for me?
Folks might want to do their own research on this, but I mean, if you're a, like, a card holder and, you know, you have your own, like cultivation, like, little thing, approval, I would definitely see if you can maybe go to the state and have them test it, you know, to be able to send samples to. I would definitely look into that, you know, if you have your license and want to get in that extra, you know, peace of mind.
Right.
And then, maybe that's something we can look into.
Yeah, for
home
sure.
Testing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I would say an affordable way to do it.
Right.
The other side of it is also going to be is going through like a reputable breeder. So look at the reviews. Look what, see how other people who have grown the same strains they are producing, how they've reacted, how they have said, oh my God, this is amazing. Because if they've sold to someone that's in, say, California, where maybe that testing is a little more available. Or a little, I don't, you could probably speak to this better.
No,
there may be more infrastructure to support that, and which would essentially cause the price to go down for testing. Sometimes people will comment, hey, I got this strain. I had it tested. It is true. It is actually a 21% or it's actually a 26.
Right.
So sometimes when you do pay a little bit more for those seeds, because, I mean, if you've been looking at seeds, sometimes they can be $25 for 10 or they can be $750 for 4. You know, like it's comes down to what you're willing to pay. And also a lot of the time, the higher you pay for the seed, the more guarantee you almost have on the back end. But you need to make sure it's reputable, because I could also tomorrow have a seed company and say, this is a 55%er and I'll sell it for $450. I could probably sell about 10 of those before someone comes after me.
Right.
But I still made the 450 and I'm going to get out of there. So it's kind of just make sure they have a long, like a reputable breeder, and they've had a history, a career of doing good things.
Right.
For sure.
So where do people, so in South Dakota, right, there's a lot of laws about cross state lines and that kind of thing, right? So getting seeds for, let's say, cannabis, right? Like, you don't have to name specific companies or anything, but is that like an online thing? Like, are there specific places that you can go online and order them? Or is there somewhere in the state that you can get them? Or how do you get the seeds?
Right.
So this is, so the easiest way to get seeds is, like I said, look for someone, like, all as simple as it gets is go on DuckDuckGo, Google, whatever it is, search cannabis seeds. You're going to see about 500 companies that all sell cannabis seeds. And for the most part, and again, we don't give legal advice, we don't tell people what to do, but basically, allegedly, you can essentially order those seeds from those places, bring it to your house, and from what, like, people do it. I can't say it's to do it, but it it's easy to order seeds online. Right.
And with seeds, they're not germinated and things like that. They're not flowering, so there is more of a like legality behind it.
Like novelty leeway. Items.
Exactly. Yeah. They technically label them as like souvenirs, mm-hmm. you know, so you know they can't get away with that kind of, you know, thing. But you're not actually transporting product or anything like that, so it's, you shouldn't worry about it in that sort of way, really. It's but like I would definitely look into it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I would definitely look into it. But I know for like commercial facilities and things like that, from what I've read, if you wanted to get things transferred from across state lines, you would have to go through metric system and things like that. Things still have to go through the metric system, like, you know, that's just the way things are.
Right. Now, another thing other than like just seeds, what about clones?
So, right. And that's more specifically for clones, actually, the whole metric deal. And yeah, because again, seeds falls into a whole different category. Right. Yeah, and clones, again, falls into a different category. And that's the ones that definitely have to be on metric when getting transported across.
Because that's actually a cannabis item.
Yes, exactly. Already. Yes, yes. So. It's not just a novelty seed item, you know. Yeah.
Is there anywhere that sells clones?
Not that right I now? Know, actually. I don't know of any home grower that could actually like start from a clone legally in the state. I don't think that it would be legal for someone to start home cultivation from a clone. I think they would have to start from a seed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it would be legal, but it would have to go through the metric process.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Right. So they'd have to get it from somebody who's licensed.
100%.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like for example, California, I was at a dispensary out there and we could carry clones, but we had a cultivation manufacturing. We had like the whole vertical stacking licensing. And in that scenario, yeah, you can just bring in clones from other like nurseries licensed through metric and sell them off in your shop.
Right.
So it just depends, I believe, like what licensing you have and all that as well. If you have a nursery license, you know.
I know dispensaries here can sell clones. I just don't think anybody's doing it yet.
Exactly.
Both, probably. I know dispensaries can, for sure.
Oh, okay. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing that states that they can't.
Right. So in California, the dispensary would just go to the cultivator and just get some clones transferred through metric to the shop. Right.
And at that point, there's no, technically, there wouldn't be a limit on it because it's not producing the flower yet.
Well, so, the purchaser would still have that four plant limit.
Yeah, the plant. I'm saying.
And I would just the dispensaries, you know, peace of mind. I would probably want to just be like, you can only buy four a day, if anything, you know, type of deal. You know, like you can't buy more than four a day.
No, for sure.
Yeah, no.
Just to be safe, four every 2 weeks. Or,
right.
Because I mean,
right.
What if you go home and you kill it or something?
Exactly, right? Exactly. Like I don't know at that point, but I wouldn't sell you more than four, which is like, you know, the legal limit, four vegging, four, and actually probably two a day if it's two vegging, two flowering. Yeah. So you know you got to think about these certain things,
like two a week or something. So exactly. Then now once the other one gets to the veg state, then you can, you know, go to the flower state.
How do they determine like when it's the vegging state? Like I don't understand. Like maybe you can walk us through that part of it. Yeah. Like when do they decide that it's flowering?
Well actually, well that's going to depend a lot on even like just what type of plant you have, you know, because there's like auto flowers, there's the photo periods, and there's like all kinds of like ways you can go about it. If you had, say, for example, photo period, you're going to be the one controlling the flowering process of the plant. So as long as you keep it within probably like a 16, you know, or 18 hour lights on schedule, it's going to be vegging out. But if it's an auto flower at that point, it's going to kind of have its own schedule and flower whenever it wants. So you would probably just have to keep more of an eye on those plants and just the production of like certain hairs and certain things like that. You know, you just, there's a process that the plant goes through. So seeing those sort of things, you know, just being vigilant on your plant is going to be the best way to go about it if you have an auto flower.
The best thing would be just as soon as you start to see those flowers, that's when anyone could look at that plant and say that plant is in flower because you'll see these little pistil hairs come out. That's when I would consider it in flower, just to be safe, regardless if it's, you have to be whatever, a bud site. I would say as soon as it has hairs, that's when I would consider it in flower.
And that's tricky. That's tricky, you know, because some already have those little hairs just during veg, you know, especially a nice, healthy plant. They're just going to be producing that type of thing.
Yeah. And I've also had mothers in my veg room that sometimes put out little pistil hairs every once in a while, and they just put them out, and then they die back and go back to veg. So that's the other thing where it's like if you have an old enough mom, sometimes the mother plant where you cut the clones from sometimes will exhibit flower signs, but it doesn't necessarily mean she's turning. It just means maybe she had a stress event or something. Yeah. So
okay.
So, like, for a beginner grower, right, there's, like, auto flowering and, like, different types of seeds or clones, that type of thing, right? So, like, what would you recommend to, like, a beginner who's just starting out, you know, like, what, where should they start?
Honestly, I would probably, I'm not the biggest fan of auto flowers. I think they're fun. They're great for, like, they're amazing for, I would guess, just getting started. Because no matter what, I know I'm going to plant that little bean. And then in, say, the pack will say, oh, this is a 60-day flower. This is a 70-day flower. I know in 70 days that plant's going to finish. So its veg period may be a 20 days for it to grow up to here. But as soon as it hits that point, and doesn't matter what you do to it, it's going into flower. It is terminating its veg cycle and going to produce flower.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier as opposed to playing with your photo periods. Because once you get into like a true, like, standard cannabis, now you have to control your photo period to control the plant. So I can keep that plant in veg for 10 years if I really want to, if I keep it. So basically it's that daytime is larger than my nighttime.
Right.
That will keep it in veg. But as soon as I go 12 and 12, which you're replicating the summer solstice, which is usually, I think it's July 21st, I believe. So July 21st, summer solstice, winter solstice, 21st, December. So that as soon as it gets to there, that's when day is half and half perfectly. And that's what tells plants to go into flower because they know the fall is coming. So that's what we're replicating within the tent is we're saying, okay, it's a time to go into flower because fall is coming. And that's all the plant will listen to.
Yeah.
Whereas the auto doesn't listen.
That is insane.
And that's the photo period, you know, just listening to the light.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Is there a way that you could tell, like, if you had a regular plant and then an auto flower just by looking at it, the difference?
Honestly, no.
If it was in the same stage, like its flowering stage, producing?
The auto may, it's pretty, it depends, because you could have a massive auto flower, but typically the autos are going to grow because they only have that deep predetermined veg period. They're going to go into flower about here and finish about here, to where I can go into flower on a standard, I can go up the roof, I can go at the cloning stage. I can tell it to go into flower at any point, and the size of that plant will be determined on when I send it into flower.
Right.
So you can do whatever you need to do in the veg stage, whether tabletop it, make it really flat to maximize your canopy, or just grow straight colas. You just have a little bit more flexibility with those. Yeah.
But nothing else, really. Nothing like different weird leaves or, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I know some people, like you said, it's great to get started, because I know a lot of, like, cultivation places were doing autoflower just to get, you know, flower into shops. But from what I've heard, and I don't know, you guys can probably attest to this, but is it more likely that autoflower will have, like, a lower terp profile and THC content when it comes to, like, its original plant, if, say, you have the same strain?
Well, THC, that's just because usually, like, for an autoflower, it's like a hybrid between, like, a regular photoperiod and, like, a Ruder Ellis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's a certain cannabis strain, too, that is the autoflower strain. And those are usually lower in, like, THC and things like that. So, yes, autoflowers are usually lower in.
So it's like a hybrid of two different types of cannabis plants.
Exactly. You know, there's the Indica Sativa and, like, the Ruder Ellis, and that's the one that's, like, the autoflower, you know. And exactly. So it's a hybrid between that and a sativa or an indica. And so it takes on some characteristics of that, which is, again, lower in THC and other terpenes. And
Okay.
On the same token, you could say as well, like, so all these different strains have different THC percentages based on the genetic. So we've been saying that one was back crossed with what the, like, that auto was that essentially tells it that it's going to flower regardless. You can have a standard plant that only produces 2% THC or 15% THC, and you can have an auto flower that produces 25% or 15%. So it's really just depends on the strain. So you can, like, regard, like, any time, like, if I had to pick a batch of everything, I could find you a batch of autos that beat a batch of standards.
Yeah.
But again, it's
genetics.
What are you saying? Yeah, absolutely. Genetics. In general,
typically, getting the right blend.
Yeah.
And then obviously it kind of goes down to each person's biochemistry too. Like, the entourage effect is going to be different for me than you and you and you. So, like,
100%.
That's not something that's a one answer all type of thing, unfortunately.
And there's some flowers that are specifically designed to produce more resin or designed bread to do more resin, but not as much yield, because I want these ones to be for extracts or pressing for hash. So I'll grow a specific strain that just does that, because I know that's just no matter what, it's going to be the most beautiful product ever. Right. As opposed to if I have a standard, say like an LA Kush cake, those two strains, that one's going to yield so much better than the LA on a press, but that LA is going to go so much better on just a straight flour mm-hmm. weight.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So you kind of play with your strains, like yeah. It's like dogs.
Something that would be heavier. I guess something that would be heavier in rosin would probably be harder to smoke, or would it take longer to cure if you were just sticking it with the flour instead of, you know, pressing it? Like with the flour that you said that is like going to be heavier yeah. and produce more in the rosin aspect. If you were to say, you know what, I just want to smoke it instead, is that something that?
Oh, it'll smoke beautifully.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. It'll be a beautiful smoke, but that same plant that I could probably do, say, 100 grams per plant with that LA,
the yield
this won't be 25 grams per plant, but that stuff is going to be really good.
Right.
But okay. again, it's based on weight and that kind of stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely smoke it.
Yeah.
Me too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It works.
Well, samples next time. So.
Come on, Rick.
Right. Oh, shit. You can gift to card holder. You can gift, right? As long as it's not, you know, going above the
daily
allotments.
Limit or something. Yeah. Which is, I'm sure you know yeah. about this. What's like the daily limit like someone can get from like the dispensary? An ounce?
Three ounces? 3 ounces okay, every 14 days.
See, that's dope. Cali's an ounce, so you guys got it good out here.
Yeah. It's like 3 ounces every 14 days or okay. 7 or 8 grams of concentrate. Okay. Or 800 milligrams of edibles.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's dope. Quite a bit. Or okay. I think, and you can obviously do like a blend. Like once you buy flour, it's not like you're only stuck to flour. You could also
right.
get, they have like, you know, the concentrated versions.
Yeah.
The formula, per se, of how the equivalent of what flour is to concentrates or whatever.
Right.
But so yeah, I think you can get like 8 bags of edibles or 8 carts mm-hmm. or your 3 ounces or like an ounce and a half or four carts. Or
yeah, something. Makes sense.
I think it's insane that they allow that much. Just like if you were to purchase your max amount, what else would you be doing?
There are heavy users out there. There are heavy yeah. users. I mean, I know people personally that have used like tinctures, for example, out in California. We have Papa's and Barclay's, very well known brand out there. That's, you know, for wellness and health. I used to work at this dispensary called the Lighthouse. I had a lot of old folks. Some of my favorite patients were like old folks because mm-hmm. I really just like, you know, taking my time with them, explaining to them, you know, the benefits mm-hmm. of like a lot of the product. And yeah, a lot of their tinctures, this lady, she would just come in like once every like 2 weeks to just load up on Papa and Barclays, because instead of taking opioids and all these other things that she was prescribed after a very serious like knee surgery, she was just taking these tinctures, and she said it was managing her pain, and it was just, you know, it was a great story. And I hear thousands of those stories.
Good
and
patient stories.
So, so sometimes like you don't know exactly that person's, you know, even tolerance too. Like I have high tolerance. I could go through honestly like an ounce probably through like a day in a or so, you know, but that's just me, myself, and I. Like, you know, like, there's a lot of people that can't, you know.
All right. So for like beginners, right, growers, right, yep. Do you guys have any type of like a beginner's kit or something like that where, you know, somebody can just walk in, you've got like a pre-selected assortment of things that are ready to go out the door? How does that work?
You want to take this one, Rim?
Yeah. So with that, it kind of always depends on how much you're trying to do or what you're trying to do too. Because if you're going with cannabis, you know, you're going to have a certain amount of space with that, especially if you're going to have like that 4-plant limit type deal. But if you're going with, let's say, like you just want to do some lettuce in your, you know, in your basement or something like that, well, how big is your basement? How, you know, all these other things come into play, where it's just how big of like of a, again, area are you trying to cover?
So yeah. Instead of a one size fits all thing, more so like come in and let's
yeah.
figure
yeah.
out the plan.
Because we
together.
Do, yeah. If you have like say like you come in for if with your card and you want your 4-plant limit, you know, we have like a 4x4 tent, you know, with a light that'll fit in there perfectly type deal. That we have that type of kit, yes. And again, it's just gonna depend on where you want to be. If you want to like the full setup or you want kind of just the starter, you know, setup.
Like selling that to card holders?
No. No, yeah, we don't require like you to show.
You can grow other stuff in
like
there, right?
Yeah, because you can grow it whatever. Like yeah, like you see, we have our tomatoes, we have our basil. Like you can do anything in those tents and with those lights. And
just to add to that, when people come into the shop, we ask them what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We say, well, how do you want to grow? And they'll be like, well, I'm not quite sure. How do I want to grow? I'm like, would you like to grow organic? Would you like to go towards salts? How would you want to do this? And if they say, hey, I want to do these three things, we're like, all right, perfect. So we'll basically suit it to the customer of what your needs are. Because there's 1,000 different ways to grow. If you talk to growers, almost every grower, they know the one way to grow. They know the exact, this is what you do, this, this, and that. But there's 50 ways to do it. And that's why there's so many, such a wide diversity of people, just different grow techniques, different ways of doing it. I've heard of people wheeling plants up into a tree, cutting out the canopy to grow a plant. I've heard people that grow underneath their stairs because they box it off and put a light in there with some other stuff. So if you have a closet or something to do with it, yeah, you don't need the tent.
Exactly.
We can just do the whole room and just get you either like an exhaust fan, get you a good light, some other fan just to keep airflow, get you the pots you need. Because, I mean, you could still technically, if you were saying, I want to do my two plants in a 2x4, awesome. We can do two plants in a 2x4. You say, I want to do two plants in an 8x8, like an 8x8 tent. You absolutely can do two plants in an 8x8 tent. Like, you can grow a ridiculous Christmas tree or a literal tabletop of a plant that's 4 foot by 4 foot. That's still one plant. So yeah. It depends on what your growing technique is, how much you want to get out of it, what you want to do. So it's tough to say this is a one-size-fits-all thing, but it just comes down to what you want, and we'll tell you how to do it. And if you have questions on how to elaborate on how do I grow soil, how do I grow hydro, how do I grow with cocoa and some of these other ones, you know, like, it comes down to what you want to do, personal preferences.
Like, what about, like, cost? So say I come into the store, right, and I want to grow my 4 plants, mm-hmm. right? And I just want the basics to get started, and I want you to tell me what to do, right? Like, what are we talking?
So when people come in and say that, it'll be like, all right, are you starting from seeds or clones? And they'll be like, all right, I want to do seeds. Awesome. We can get you set up with a great little setup on just, you could use any racking like this, and we'll sell you a $13 clone dome with 50 cells and a $20 bag of plugs and another $40 light. So under $100, you are off to the races, and now you can practice with that. So now your initial investment is really low, but you're learning. So if you realize this is not for me, I hate this, at least you haven't gone the full way of buying all of that stuff that you aren't necessarily going to need.
Yeah.
So we always like to kind of have people take baby steps as opposed to diving right in. Some people want to dive right in, but for the most part, if someone's like, hey, I want to grow, and you're like, well, how would you want to do it? You'd be like, all right, let's just set you up with exactly what you need right now. When those are ready to transplant, come back in and we'll get you to the next step. So it's kind of easier to stage it out both financially and for our own brains to be able to learn, because I'm like, I'm learning how to pop a seed or cut a clone.
Right.
And that's it. I don't want you to worry about flower yet. We're not even there. We got a lot of work to do.
Right.
So we try to start people off like kind of low and slow and then get them to where they're comfortable, and now they can feel more comfortable making that investment in the next step.
Well, I have a new mental list of questions to come in and ask once I get a house, because I definitely need to start going my own.
We'll be here.
Absolutely. Be around.
Yeah, and we definitely need to have a dinner.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, a learning session.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Do like a bon appetit type deal, you know?
Hey, there you go.
For the Uber driver to be like, you guys all right? We're good.
Where do you live?
Yes.
My eyes are not red right now.
Yes, be safe, folks. If you're doing that type of thing, Uber.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, seriously, don't want to drive. Serious, no. Yeah, consume responsibly.
Yeah. Or consume some CBD. There's other things that you can actually help to like kind of bring down your high. If you're feeling a little too high, folks, like consuming some CBD really helps you balance you out, brings you down. Things like cloves and stuff like that, other things that really help you just kind of relax, drinking some water.
Typically mm-hmm. eating a big meal, a couple yes. munchies, and falling asleep.
Exactly.
I wake up feeling pretty good the next day.
Yeah.
And we're representing cannabis users in this state. This is a relatively new thing in this state. Obviously, there's been a black market here for a while where people have been able to consume. But we are the first, like we as in South Dakotans that use cannabis, we're who they're watching. They're going to see how far you take this, if we are messing up, if we're doing these things, because we're first to market, and this is who people are going to think. This is our first impression. So let's do it responsibly, and let's just stay in our lanes, yeah. stay in lines. You know, like, it's okay. Like,
not ruin what we got, but still.
We have an amazing thing here.
Yeah.
So no reason to push limits.
No, absolutely. And you're only going to get yourself in trouble.
Exactly. You don't need to, do we?
Yeah. They're just looking.
No, throw the book at you.
Yeah, they're just looking. So
There ain't a plan. Well, I think for today, we're going to split this episode into two parts. We had some technical difficulties with the microphone. Sorry. But we're going to come back in that day or two, and we'll finish this out. I know we have a lot more to cover.
Yeah, this is fun.
There's so much. Yeah, seriously, this is fun. There's a lot more information that I have, and I'm going to come with a laundry list of questions next time. So be prepared.
And we can also come, we'll set up a display. So you're like, I want to know cloning. I can have all the cloning stuff you would need and literally teach you on our tomato plants if people want to learn how to clone on this podcast.
We can make it like a little informative more instead of just discussion. You know,
100%. Let us know in the comments, like I said, like what people want to learn, and we can kind of cover that too.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, like right. Leave us a comment if you want to learn about a specific thing or if you'd be interested in us doing that.
Yeah, this doesn't have to be the only time. Like, we want to come back because, again, when it comes to growing, not only cannabis, but everything. Dude, there's so much information that people would fall asleep listening to a 12-hour podcast if we sat and talked about this for literally a whole day. So I think it'll help. But also, it would be dope if we could get some camera shots of what you got back there.
Absolutely.
Dude, it's beautiful. I mean, and I think people have a good example, and you have everything that they would need, you know, from A to B. So
yes, like I like to say, from cure to like harvest, you know, from seed to harvest, all that. Like we can take care of you, because you know, curing is a whole other process too. You know,
got to do it right, man, so I can enjoy it.
Yes, definitely, man.
Yeah. Well, so before we close it out, is there anything that you guys want to plug or? Anything you got coming up or?
I don't know. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Botanicals IGC. We usually on there, especially Instagram, Facebook, we do run down some common problems that you have in cannabis. So you can literally go on there and say, oh, I have PM. What do I do? Go to the PM one and just read, educate. Like we want to put it out there for everyone. So no matter what, you have access to the information because it's about access.
Yeah, educational posts. Yeah, absolutely. We have educational posts on CO2 and the different things like that, the benefits of CO2 and all that.
Don't want to be the gatekeepers of cannabis. You know, like, there's no need for it.
And just there's reach out. There's too many of them already.
Yeah, just reach out to us on, you know, social media, you know, Messenger and all that, and we'd be more than happy to take care of you folks.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys, and I will get to working on that list so we can ask you a bunch of questions.
Awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
See you folks.
Yeah, I'll dig more too.